Okay, how many remember the verse we're working on?
3, 5, and 6.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to end up with it today by talking about our spiritual direction in our life. So in our life, there's this process, and this process involves recognizing, first of all, what God has for us to do, then aligning that with His will, and then surrendering to His guidance, which comes through the Holy Spirit. So it's all about yielding unto Him and not to ourselves by letting Him lead us in every decision. But not only while He's leading us, He's trying to reveal His purpose unto us. So sometimes we allow God to show us a direction, but then we don't let Him reveal the purpose of the direction. So we run off not knowing why we're doing this. So have you ever been in that? Well, the Lord led me here, but I don't know why. Why is that? It's because we didn't let Him reveal that purpose unto us. So that means that we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. So as believers, we have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we listen through the promises and the commandments of His Word. So in order to see how things are going to take place or happen in our everyday life, we have to study the Word of God. This is how He shows us. So we do this as we learn to trust in Him, and we learn to lean upon His understanding. Not our own understanding, but His understanding, because He wants us to be able to acknowledge that it's all about Him. It's His grace, it's His love, it's His mercy that allows us to do it. This is what lights up the pathway in our life, the direction that He wants us to go. So we're on this journey through life. That's how we should look at it. We're on this journey through life, and this journey sometimes, oftentimes, many times, maybe it, when you're on it, it reminds you of a windy path with a lot of twists and turns. And it also reminds you of a hilly path with a lot of ups and downs. This is what our journey in life is all about. And when this happens sometimes, do you ever get the feeling that when you're on this journey and it's windy and it's up and it's down, do you ever get this feeling that you might be lost? Have you ever been out driving before and wonder, oh, am I lost or do I know where I'm going? So sometimes this happens in our spiritual life. So God has to get a hold of our thoughts, our intentions, our actions to make sure that we understand we are on the right pathway. We're going in the direction that He would have us to go. So can we find that smooth and straight pathway? Sure we can. One that's free of obstacles. We'll always maybe have some obstacles, but we won't see them if we're allowing God to give us direction. If we're allowing God to help us with, we should be looking at the destination and not at the things that are happening immediately in our life. So yes, God can make our paths straight, even though they're windy. They'll seem straight to us because we are following after Him. And that's because He's the one that can remove the obstacles out of the road. So when you're flying down the road and something runs across the road in front of you, what's the first thing you do? Or swerve, stop, swerve, something. But it usually causes what? Maybe sometimes an accident. But in our life, God helps to remove those obstacles. Now, don't get the idea that just because He's removing obstacles that we're not going to have hardships. That's not what that's all about. We're still going to have hardships in our life, but these help us to understand who God is and what the power of God is in our life. So this helps us to navigate, so to speak, through those trials, those tribulations, those temptations, but He helps us to navigate through those with perseverance, so that we'll always be able to endure the things that are going on within our life. This is what aligns our will with His will. And that's what we're looking for in our life today. So I'm going to read you a couple of verses over in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Here's what he says. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting with verse 1. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses..." So what's he talking about here? These witnesses, this Word of God that we have, the examples that we have through the Word of God. He said, "Let us lay aside," okay? This isn't the first time that this has ever happened to somebody. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever I'm going through in my life, we can find an example of it in the Word of God if we want to find the example. Most of the time, we just want to say, "Oh, this ain't never happened to nobody else before, so I'll just deal with it." But that's, if you just try to deal with it on your own, it's going to be like swerving to miss something on the road. There's going to be an accident. So he said, "Let us lay aside these weights, the sin which doth so easily beset us." So think about that in your life. We all have these things in our life that are sinful. You can call them bad habits, whatever you want to call them. Satan knows what they are. And if he knows what they are, I can tell you, that's what he's going to use to come to bring temptation in your life. So he says, "The sin which so easily beset us." So there's all kinds of things in our life that easily besets us, or easily angers us, or easily brings anxiety, or easily tests our patience. These are the things that Satan's going to come against us with. And he says, we need to put those aside. And he said, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, he says, the only way that we can do this is, then you go into verse 2, he says, it's by looking unto Jesus. He's the one that we've got to keep our eyes on. He said, he's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy... Now pay attention to this, because, you know, we talk about all the time, we talk about the things that Christ went through when he is upon his earth, the sufferings, the crucifixion, all these things that were happening. But he said that was joy. He was happy to do that, because he was doing it for what? He was doing it for us, the Father through for us. So this was a joy unto him. He said it set before him, endured the cross. He despised the shame, and now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we look at his life as an example, there shouldn't be anything in our life that upsets us. We should be able to look at his life, see what he went through, see why he went through it, and see now where he's at. His destination was what? To be in heaven with the Father, and one of these days we'll join him there. That was the destination. So he said, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your own mind." So consider what Christ went through. What Christ went through for you and for I, for everybody. Consider what he went through, and the things that we go through in our life is just a drop in the bucket compared to the things that he went through for us. So we're... through this, then we're encouraged to, let's say, get rid of all the... How many of you have spiritual baggage? Huh? How many of you have things in your house that you dust? They've been there for 20 years. You don't know why, but you're still... Those things need what? Thrown out. Oh no, they're keepsakes. They're antiques. Well, we're getting to be antiques ourselves. So, spiritual baggage, that these things that are holding us back in our life in Christ. So what do? We're to look to the examples in the Word of God. So what are we going to look at in the Word of God? We're going to look at those men and women in the Word. The faith that they had, that's what we're going to look at. They were testimonies to us to show us that we can have an unwavering faith and trust in God. That's why we're looking back into the Old Testament. We're studying those things, those examples. So they're the ones that have proven unto us that we can have a life of great faith in God. Even though we don't think that we can sometimes, it is possible to have great faith in the Lord. So all of these unnecessary distractions in our life, and you know what they are, I know what they are, distractions, burdens, whatever you want to call them, these things hinder and slow down our spiritual growth. This is the spiritual baggage that we need to get rid of. These are the things that are keeping us from living or finding that pathway that God wants us on, one that is filled with love, one that is filled with joy, one that is filled with peace. But remember, even though that's the pathway we want to be on, it's going to be one that tests our faith. But even going through trials and tribulations, you can still have love, joy, peace, understanding. We can still have all of that in our life because these are the opportunities that God has meant for us to strengthen us in our life. So that's how we want to see these things in our life. So God is the only one. That's just why he says looking unto Jesus, because God is the only one who can perfect and sustain our faith. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. So all of these worldly anxieties that we have, that we go through, that we're on medicine for, anybody with me? Don't raise your hand. That we're all of these worldly anxieties this is just part of our spiritual life. And this is part of a life. All these situations and circumstances that we go through, that all they're doing is showing us where our limitations are. And when we begin to see those limitations, then we can turn to God and have him help us with those limitations in our life. If we don't ever ask for help, we're never going to overcome them. We're always going to have them, and they're always going to be a hindrance to our life in Christ. These things can be conquered. They can be conquered through our faith. And it comes through prayer. It comes through meditation and the Word of God, the promises and the commandments that he gives us. So we have to learn to look to the sufferings of Christ. That's what they're there for, is to show us that no matter how much we suffer, we can still be victorious. No matter how much we suffer, we can still have faith. No matter how much we suffer, we can still have love, joy, peace, endurance, grace, mercy, compassion. All these things that God empowers us with in our life, because he wants us to be able to overcome our spiritual exhaustion, so to speak. How many of you at times feel spiritually exhausted in your life? Of course we get to that point because of the things that are going on. So God wants to help us with that, because when we are spiritually exhausted, we get discouraged. We become weary and we faint, and God would have us to faint not and remain faithful in him. So in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, what is it? Trust in the Lord. Don't look there, but say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? He shall direct thy paths, or some of the translations might say, make thy paths straight. So we've talked about trust. We've talked about understanding. We've talked about acknowledgement. So today we're going to talk about direction. What direction are we going on in our life? So remember, let's not forget this, that when we're following the direction of God, it does not mean that you are going to have a life that's free of hardships and suffering. That's not what this means. But it does mean that God will give us, okay, he'll give us the ability to clear all of this out of the way so that we might see the straight path that he wants us to go, the direction that he wants us to go. And then he'll guide us in that direction, and he'll give us a life of purpose, a life of righteousness in him, a life that glorifies him. So this is the direction that we want to be going in our life. And it's a direction that comes from trusting in God's what? His divine wisdom, his divine knowledge, and gaining understanding from that. So in the book of Psalm, let's look at what David gave us in the 23rd Psalm. How many of you learned this as a young person in church? The 23rd Psalm. Well, how does it start? For the Lord is what? Nobody learned it. And so the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, I don't want there to be no others that I want. I only want him. And here's what he said. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. So God provides guidance. All of these things that David said, here's what the Lord does for me. And he even goes on to say that even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of the death, but here's what he does. He provides us direction. He provides us moral direction. He provides us spiritual direction. Now, why do we need moral direction? Because we still have that inheritance from Adam, that old sin inheritance. And morally, a lot of times in our life, we're way off the direction that God wants us to be. So he provides us with a moral direction, and he provides us with a spiritual direction. And all along, he's protecting us. Now listen to this, because this is what David was talking about, because in verse 4 he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You would think, well, why am I there if God's leading me over here? It's because a lot of times we wander off the path. And when we wander off the path, we're wandering into these destructive behaviors and actions that we have. These lustful desires that we have, that places God does not want us to be. So he says he leads us back toward. He has to get us back going towards that spiritual fulfillment. You know, when you find yourself following after your own lustful worldly desires and behavior, there's no spiritual fulfillment. Now, you might think there might be some kind of temporary fulfillment there, but that would be exactly what it would be. It would just be temporary. So God has to get us back. So he said, if you want to live a righteous life, you have to be obedient. So this is why when you go down the road, we have signs. Go this fast, not this fast, but this fast. Or stop here, turn here. Caution here. So God, he gave us that through the law. That's what the law does for us, gives us that instruction. But in order for it to work, there has to be obedience. So our obedience has to be to the promises and the commandments of God's word as we read and as we study the things that God wants us to do. So this allows us to surrender all of our control unto God. Because God, surrendering our control, our life to God, means that we're surrendering unto his divine wisdom, his divine knowledge, his divine understanding, his divine guidance. So sometimes his divine judgment when we're going off path. So we're surrendering unto this so that it's his leadership through his spirit that keeps us safe even when we have to undergo the consequences of the things that we're doing in our life that are not pleasing unto him. So he leads us. That's what he's doing. David said, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So when he leads us, he wants us to start reflecting him. His characteristics, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his grace, his compassion. So that he wants his glory that is within us and around us. He wants that to shine forth in our life. This is what he has in store for us because we were made righteous by him through his son, Christ Jesus, and God wants us to live in that righteousness. So in Proverbs, here's what he says. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Proverbs 12:28. Here's what he said. In the way of righteousness is life. Now, do you know what he's talking about there? It's not in the way of righteousness. That's where our eternal life comes from. But if you want to live the life that God has in store for you to live here upon this earth, it's got to be through righteousness. If it's not through righteousness, we're not going to be living the life that God wants us to live. So righteousness means in the way of righteousness is life. That means our spiritual life here upon this earth and then eternally with God one of these days. So in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof, meaning that pathway of righteousness, then there is no death. And one of the things that Paul said in his letters is he said, I have to do what? I have to die daily. That's right. So why is that? Is because Paul wasn't always following the way of righteousness, just like we do not always follow the way of righteousness. So in the way of righteousness is life. This is a protective path that God puts us on. Now, again, don't get this confused with hardships and sufferings, because protective means we're always in firmly secure in the hands of God, even though we're going through hardships and sufferings and trials and tribulations. But it is a life-giving path, okay? It's protective, it's life-giving, and it gives us peace of mind, true peace of mind. So you all have went through things where your mind has fallen apart. There was no peace of mind, but you all have went through things and you've had true peace of mind. That's what God is talking about. Even though we're going through things in our life, we have true peace of mind because we found that in Christ. We found that through our salvation. So our life is a choice between two distinct pathways, okay? Now, I'm talking about as a believer now, but before you were saved, you were just on one pathway. We talked about that in Bible study on Thursday night. That was the broad, open pathway. Dad described it as a funnel that everybody got. That was a pretty good description. So anyhow, so we have this choice between these two distinct pathways. One pathway is leading us in the way of wisdom and eternal life. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, eternal life is our destination. Now, the other pathway is spiritually we're being ignorant. Do you think you can be spiritually ignorant on purpose? As a believer, if that's the case, it's on purpose. Because that's not where God wants us to be. So the other way is a pathway of spiritual ignorance. And the only thing that pathway will ever bring us is some kind of destruction. And it'll come through the wrath and the condemnation of God. So those who make godly decisions, and we pray for that every day in our life, Lord, help us to make godly decisions, we are less likely to stray from righteousness. So we're less likely to fall into that pathway of unrighteousness. But those who don't, they're foolish and they're always following after self-righteousness, which is not the righteousness of God. So this is one thing that we either have to choose every day. We either have to choose to follow God or we choose to follow our own worldly lustful desires. That's the two choices that we make every day in our life. So those who possess, okay, the righteousness, those who possess that righteousness through faith in Christ, we have security in our eternal life. Now, we don't always follow that security. We don't always claim that security because we let things around us bog us down or get us down. But we have that security because our pathway is, the destination is eternal life. And that pathway is following in the footsteps of Christ. Now, if you're following in the footsteps of Christ, then automatically you ought to know that Christ's footsteps went through a lot of what? Pain, suffering, a lot of ridicule, a lot of shame. We just read that. He said he bore the suffering. He bore the shame of the sinners around him. So if you're following in the footsteps of Christ, those things are going to happen. They're going to take place in our life. So don't be amazed. You know, as believers, a lot of times things happen in our life and we're just amazed. Look at what is going on. if you're following in the footsteps of Christ, you can go to the Word of God and not be amazed, because Christ himself went through those same things. So our destination follows the footsteps of Christ. So over in the book of 1 Peter, let's go over to 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start with verse 20. For what glory is it? Okay, so here he's asking a question. So he's asking if you're going to show the glory of God through these things. So what glory is it if, when ye are afflicted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? Now, how many of us, when we're afflicted for things that are going on in our own life, choices that we've made, trials or tribulations that we're going through, how do we take it patiently? So I'm talking about some of you all, I would say men, but some of you men and women that maybe work on stuff all the time. How many times have you thrown the wrench or the hammer or the nail bag or whatever it is that you had in your hand because we weren't taking it patient? How about you ladies? I could say I don't cook much. I do mostly dishes. But how about you ladies that cook and something goes wrong? Is there flour all over the kitchen? Is there flour all over the kitchen? Or so he's asking this question. Are we still glorifying God when we're going through these things, or have we strayed off the pathway and we're into the unrighteous territory now? But he said, but if when you do well and suffer for it, did you hear what he just said? When you do well, but because you're going to do well, you're probably suffering for doing well. He says, you take it patiently. He said, this is what is acceptable to God. The other stuff, that's not acceptable to God. And you know what happens as a result of the other stuff? The consequences are you either got to clean something up, you got to go get what you broke. So there's always consequences. So he said, for even hereunto were ye called, because listen now, Christ also suffered for us, and he left us this as an example that we should follow in his steps or in his footsteps. So he said, Christ, he did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So when he mashed his thumb or his finger, he didn't curse. Y'all with me? Huh? When he fell down, he didn't say, oh, yeah. All right? So there was no guile found in his mouth, and who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, meaning he didn't take action against whoever it was that was doing something against him. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously, meaning he committed himself unto the Father, because who he his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. And listen to this part. By whose stripes we are healed. Okay? We should remember this when things are going on in our life. So, as believers, because as sinners, we weren't going in the right direction. But as believers, we're going in the right direction. What does that mean to me in my life? It means, first of all, I'm going to experience hardships. I'm going to experience some sufferings. I'm going to experience all those things. But while I'm doing the work of the Lord, and it should be I'm doing the work of the Lord all the time as a believer, I'm not going to let these things get me down. Because when I'm doing these things, when I'm going in the right spiritual direction, I'm following my calling. That holy calling that God has given unto me. And when I'm following that, I'm the destination that I'm seeing, I'm seeing my eternal life, but the destination I'm seeing Christ's life, because I'm following in his footsteps, because that's the work that I'm doing, and I'm following after his perfect example. So I'm not looking at all the worldly things around me, because those things is what's going to take me off the path. But I'm seeing my destination, my eternal life, that destination of eternal life. But I'm focusing on Christ, because I'm focusing on walking in his footsteps. So it's Christ's life here on earth that gave us the perfect example. So I'm focusing on that as I'm doing what God wants me to do in my life. So that means that my attitude, my actions, my characteristics, all these things that are happening, I'm following directly after his. I'm trying to be Christ-like. I'm trying to do whatever it is he would do in those circumstances. And we know that the reason that he done that is because he trusted in the Father. And here's what he trusted in the Father for. And here's what we should be trusting in the Father for. Everything that we do here upon this earth, we can't do it perfect, and we can't do it the right way. But if we trust in the Father that he'll take care of those circumstances, God does it perfectly and correctly. So we trust in him to do that for us, because we cannot do that. So Christ didn't just suffer to pay our sin debt, even though a lot of what he done was to pay our sin debt, but he suffered to give us an example. An example that we are to trust in the Father, because everything that the Father has in store for us in our life, he does it perfectly and he does it correctly. So he suffered so that we might trust in God, because he trusted in God. And you've seen perfectly and correctly came not just the crucifixion, but the resurrection. So as he wants us to be victorious in our life, even though we have to live in a sinful world, we can be victorious in Christ. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, here's what he says, 2:22. So let's do 21 and 22. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Now, if you back up and read what he's talking about purging yourself from, is from materialistic things of the world that we don't need. So if he said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. A vessel unto honor that is sanctified, a vessel that is meet for the master's use, meaning that we qualify for God's use, and he is prepared unto every good work. All right? So everything that God has in store for us, he doesn't give you a work that he's not already prepared you for. So we're prepared. So he says, in order to do this, he said, we must flee also youthful lust. Now, I'm not talking about your age. Lust that you might have had when you're 16 or whatever the case may be. When he says youthful lust, he means those lusts that we still have as immature believers, as those who are still immature in Christ. He said we need to flee those things, get rid of those things. He said follow our righteousness, follow our faith, follow our charity, which is God's love, follow our peace. And he says, follow it with all everybody else that calls upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. So we're not doing this alone. If you remember the verse that we read, he said, look to the example of the men and women that we have examples of in the Old and the New Testament. So we're not doing this on our own. So now here's what he wants us to do. He wants us to find this spiritual cleansing. And you know, you don't, when you were saved and the Holy Spirit came in and dwelt within you, that was the beginning of your spiritual cleansing. But there's nothing wrong with looking for that every day of our life. We need that every day of our life. And we do this by actively pursuing after the characteristics of God. This is how we pursue this spiritual cleansing. And we're actively looking while we're working. while we're doing the good works that God wants us to do. So, and it's His righteousness, because it's His righteousness that we gain through Christ from the cross. This is how we conduct ourselves in the righteousness of God, and it all comes through our faith in Christ Jesus. So this is how God communicates with us. Because when we think about the love of Christ, we want the love of Christ displayed through us. We want the love of Christ displayed within us. So that means every word that we speak, every action that we carry out should come through the righteousness of Christ, should come through the love of Christ. So that means that our spiritual direction is our purpose in His righteousness. That's the direction that He wants us to go. So that means His righteousness, His faith, His love, His compassion, all these things that He's an example of in our life, that's our spiritual direction. That is the way that we are going in our life. So that means that if you didn't learn anything else, that through all of the promises and the commandments of God's word, we learn what our purpose in life is. And He allowed it to be summed up in these few verses in Proverbs. And He says, here's what your purpose in life is all about. He said, first of all, it's to what? It's to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I hope you guys have remembered these by now. It's to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's to lean not to your own understanding, but to the understanding of God. And it means when we do this, in everything that we do, we will acknowledge God. Because that's what He has in store for us in our life. And when we do these things, He says, He'll be the one that keeps us on the right path. And He'll make sure that pathway, we're seeing it as a straight pathway to Him. Not even though it's windy, even though it's up and down, we're going to see the straightness of that pathway, because we're not only focused on our destination, but we are focused on following in the footsteps of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank You, Lord, for the wisdom and knowledge and the understanding that You give us through Your word, Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord, for our purpose here on life. And that purpose, Lord, that is to serve You, Heavenly Father, to glorify You, Lord, by showing others what the way of salvation is truly all about. Help us, Lord, to fulfill that purpose, Heavenly Father, as we walk in that pathway that You have given unto us, Heavenly Father. Help us to trust in You, Lord. Help us to understand You, Heavenly Father. Help us to acknowledge You, Heavenly Father, so that we may always see the straight pathway, Heavenly Father, that You are leading us and guiding us to in our life. So we ask this day, Lord, that as we continue to live our life here on this earth, that we continue to follow after the leadership and the guidance of Your Holy Spirit, that we continue, Lord, to do those things that are pleasing unto Thee, that we continue, Lord, to let our light so shine so that others may see Your good works within us, Heavenly Father. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Okay, so remember, Thursday evening,